quite a topic today. It has me in fear and trembling a little bit. Unity is the topic, and I know that stirs the pigs in the parlor. That's phrased for the demons, because the demons, the devil, aren't afraid of people going to church, singing, doing stuff like that. They're afraid when they agree together, when the people of Jesus agree together in unity. That's when things get stirred up. So it's quite a topic today. I would probably say it's the most important one I've ever preached, and I haven't preached it yet. So let's get on to it. This is Psalm 127 through 133. And these are continuing what's called the Songs of Ascent. That's going up to Jerusalem. Anywhere you approach Jerusalem is going to be going up. The city on a hill. Philip was actually sharing about that word. He knows Shalom, Jerusalem, the city of peace. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Today we want our hearts prepared for communion. And of course, that's where we unite together, isn't it? We might not agree on our favorite songs. We might not agree on the favorite color of church benches or where a church should be located, what it should look like, or the color of a rug. But we need to agree on this, that Jesus Christ died for us and his blood was shed and paid for our sins and has granted us eternal life, and it's a free gift. So communion will be certainly part of what we do today, so allow your heart to be prepared during this time of working in his word. The word of God is referred to as water. It refreshes. It's also something that makes us free. The word of God makes us free. It brings us into a larger place. It enlarges our heart to be able to love more. We're born with a sinful heart. We're born with a sin nature. Your heart is like all shriveled up. And the word of God allows it to be more pliable and grow and expand. So receive the word of God with that spirit today. Psalm 127 and 133 are the kind of the second half. There's 15 songs of ascent going up to Jerusalem. They would be singing these songs just like you were this morning, but stepping one step after another, heading up to the temple in Jerusalem to be together, to be one together. And we're going to end on that particular song, Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. So we're working up to that point. On the way, we're all going to be taking steps through the Word of God here. And I've got three different titles today, sorry. But it's too good. There's too much information. It's too wonderful not to bring these up. But the first one is the home stretch, and that being the we're almost there at the pinnacle. We're almost there. We've gone past the halfway point. You can almost see it. You can almost smell it. You can almost taste it. You know what's going to happen. The brethren, the sisterin, they're going to get together, and there's going to be a unity, and there's going to be something that falls from heaven. There's going to be a powerful thing, and I think you experienced that already this morning here. So the home stretch is number one. And number two is ascending up the steps of humility. Humility we think of as a downward kind of thing. You fall prostrate before the God and bowing down in worship or kneeling down. In this case, we're ascending up in humility as we progress through these psalms here, these next few psalms. The third one has two parts. What is good and what is pleasant? Where do we see those two things actually together? Something that's good for you and something that's actually tastes good. You know, it's pleasant.
What was the second one?
Ascending the steps of humility.
Ascending up the steps of humility. So the third title has two parts. What is good and pleasant? It's a question. And the second part of that is uniformity versus unity. Two interesting words. We're most familiar with uniformity. That's where things appear to be the same. One form, uniform. You wear uniforms sometimes. And unity, a little bit different. It has more spiritual connotations to it. One's not evil, one's not good. Both are going to work together, as we're going to see here. Psalm 127 is part one. in the first title, The Home Stretch, and it talks about the home, talks about children, talks about grandchildren, talks about husband, wife, talks about the house here. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keeps the city, where the town or the house dwells, the watchman waketh, but in vain. He guards in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. That's the striving that we do in our homes and, you know, the two and three jobs that we do. Your translation might say that you're working all around the clock to just provide. The Lord wants us to be able to rest. Christy talked about that rest and that peace, that promise of it in the midst of craziness and the storm. It's there. And it's the will of God for us to have that. So he tells us right here, because it's against a human nature. Human nature wants to gain, and it wants it all now. It'll burn the candle on both ends. And God says, no. Rest. Have balance in your life. It's vain to do that. It's empty. Verse 3, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them, lots of kids. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate of the city there, not succumbing to the enemies, actually being victorious. Happy is mentioned twice here in the context of family. This is the home stretch, especially these first two particular songs. Blessed is he, in Psalm 128, is everyone that fears the Lord, that walks in his ways. Blessed is everyone that fears the Lord, that walks in his ways. The fear of the Lord is something genuine. You can't fake it. Notice here it doesn't say, blessed is everyone that fakes the Lord, that fakes his ways. It's fearing the Lord and walking in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. So happy mentioned first in these first two psalms. We're at the halfway mark. We're stretching. It's like, hey, we're going to make it. We're feeling good, right? Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Halfway up the mountain to go to Jerusalem here. We're in the middle of the songs anyway. And it shall be well with thee. That happy word, there's Asher. We have a little Asher that runs around here. That's the idea. Happy. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Sounds beautiful. Thy children like olive plants around thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that fears, not fakes, the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Another term for Jerusalem, the city on the hill there. And thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yes, thou shalt see thy children's children, there's grandchildren, in peace upon Israel, the community, the nation, the city. So these first two have to do with part one of our presentation today, the home stretch, having particular to do with the home. The elements of the home is the family, of course. It's not the refrigerator and the couch and the TV that make it, although some of us think that's what it is. The family is what makes the home, regardless of if you have the refrigerator with the ice that dispenses or not. This idea of a happy home been set before you at some point in your life as the ideal and what's on top of the mountain. Is that what we're heading for? No. It's good. It's telling us it's good here. But it's not what's on top of the mountain. God has bigger plans for us. He's got greater goals. Has it been the human story, the top of the mountain being a happy family that lived happily ever after, all of that stuff that we like to see in movies? we just have to go through the Bible and work through it, and we would see that's not the case. From Cain and Abel, the first two boys, the Ishmael and Isaac, the Jacob and Esau, and Joseph and his brothers, you keep going forward. It's a struggle. Family is a struggle, definitely. It's not what's on top of the mountain. We were in prayer last night at 7. You're all welcome to come out for prayer. You can pray with us or come out to be prayed over. Gretchen corrected me once when I said prayed on. Girls are sensitive to these type of things. Prayed over, not on. And bus 39, Port Byron bus, went by there, and I'm a weirdo with that kind of stuff, so I looked at Psalm 39, and it talked about just how things are changed and transient in our lives. You know, and looking at the pictures of my kids as I go down in the basement down there, and they're all different now. They're grown up. We want to hold on to that, and everybody tells you, hold on, it's going to be quick. And you're like, man, no, it's never going to get through these diapers, and you know, we're never going to get through this tantrum years and these kind of troubles and the backsliding and the trouble that the kid's going through. And it seems like forever, but it's really fast. It changes so fast. What I would submit to you is being presented to us today. What's on top of the mountain is unity, is becoming one with other people, whether it's a husband and wife, brothers and sisters in the church, in Christ. It's unity that's on the top of the mountain today. What makes a church big? What's the greatest number that we're looking for? What's our goal in the number? Is it 300? One. Very good. One. That's my goal. I want to reach that goal. One. And when people ask me from this time forward, how many are in your church, which I get asked a zillion times. We're a micro church, I say, and I say all kinds of funny things. But now I'm going to answer one. One. Part two begins with Psalm 129 and takes us right to Psalm 133. So we'll be moving through the next batch of psalms there, songs. Part two is ascending up the steps of humility. So maybe you've had this ideal set before you that family and happiness is, that's the top of the pinnacle. It's not. The human experience that God would have us as a child of God, that's not on the top. So humility sets in now through these next songs you will notice. The psalmist starts talking about his childhood, his youth. He talks about deep wounds that have been inflicted in him. Maybe physical abuse, emotional abuse, neglect. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, many a time. May Israel now say, hey, let us all say this. Let us all be in agreement that no one's lived a perfect childhood. There's been difficulty and struggle. Many a time, verse 2, have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. Here you are today. Here you are today. The plowers plowed. Man, this sounds rough. The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. We live in an agricultural community here. This should make us cringe a little bit as we've seen the plow move and rip up the soil. But those hurts can be so deep. Even the ones where the wounds have healed over, if they were physical ones, the ones that are emotional, they're so deep. Working with people that are struggling with addiction, especially, I am made privy to these deep wounds of their past, and they're doing whatever they can to cover them over. And part of the healing is doing what James did this morning, talking about it, confessing it, not trapping it in your heart and allowing it to fester. And your heart looks like the sewer. It's filled with smelly, rotting things. You need to allow those things to come out, as stinky as they may seem, as ugly as it may seem. They need to be shared. The Lord is righteous. He has cut asunder the cords of the wicked. I'm free today. Here I am. Let them all be confounded and turn back that hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops, which withers and it grows up. Witherwith the mower fills not his hand, nor he that binds sheaves in his bosom. Neither do they which go by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Let go of those things of the past. Let go. Let the Lord. Give space for the Lord to exact what he needs to do on those folks that have inflicted damage on you. Notice the word let there in verse 5 and 6. Let them. Give space for the Lord to do that. It's not your mission. We're taking steps up the hill of humility here. Steps of humility up the hill. We're being honest about our lives. We're being honest about our struggles. We're being honest about the stinky things in our heart. This is good. This is real good. Psalm 130. The confession happening. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. What happened to a happy family? What happened to the Disney and everything, the ideal on the top here? Where do we go? We're still ascending, folks. These are still the songs of ascent. What's happening is humility, reality, honesty. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, sin, O Lord, who should stand? Now looking at that person that has hurt you, that has inflicted damage on you, coming to this place, if Lord, if you counted sins, including mine, who would stand? The answer is none. There is none righteous. Going into a place now of preparing our heart to be able to even forgive the one that dug furrows in our back and left scars, deep scars. First, we must receive this forgiveness. And it says that in verse 4, after who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. There is forgiveness with the Lord. I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. From one moment, from one verse there, who can stand before the Lord? We're all sinners, to now having hope. I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, in his word do I hope. I know the Lord is gracious and compassionate. Verse 6 is, my soul waits for the Lord, more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that even watch for the morning. You watch in the clock tick, you can't wait for it to be morning. You can't wait for whatever it is, school to get out. You know, more than all of that, I'm waiting for the Lord. I have this anticipation all the time going on. Not just I can't wait for the weekend. I can't wait for the for dinner. I can't wait for that. More than that, we have this anticipation that God is going to be with us. That God has something for us even today. Let Israel hope in the Lord, verse 7, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Things are getting serious as he moves up, as the songs are ascending, aren't they? As steps are being taken up honesty, as you're getting closer to that place, the presence of God and the beauty of His holiness, honesty is happening. Reflection is happening. Power is starting to happen. The ideologies and everything that you had and the surfacey kind of stuff is still there, and it's still part of it. Yeah, you want these kind of things. You want a happy family and a dog and a cat and all of these and all of that. But now this man, these deeper qualities are happening as you're ascending, taking steps of humility. Psalm 131 is a psalm that you could put my name next to. Remember the Psalm Project? That was like an adopt a psalm. There's 150 of them. They're like, that's Stray Haven over there, right? They're waiting to be adopted. It's just a little one here. Psalm 131. Lord, my heart is not haughty or proud, nor my eyes lofty. Same idea of pride. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters, or in things too high for me. Remember, we're stepping up with steps of humility here. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. Let us all hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. Unity is starting to efface, is starting to bubble up now in this process. You're starting to smell it. You ever get near the ocean and you can smell the salt? You ever get near places and you get excited? The anticipation of this unity, of this oil that drips from heaven, of this water that melts from the snow of Mount Hermon. It's about to happen. The unity is about to happen. This is the ideal of God. This is the kingdom of heaven. And this is my song that I would choose out of all of them. I have behaved and quieted myself as a child, Lord, not exercising myself in high matters. I'm going to figure out this situation and that situation, and we're going to bring this in, and we're going to engineer this, and here we go. And, you know, and a big, you know, all you get is a big head. I'm going to sit back and hope in the Lord and allow Him to move. I'm not going to be impatient. I'm going to be patient because I know the Lord is on our side. For with the Lord there is mercy, as we just read, plenteous redemption. Psalm 132, no, I am completely off the stage. I'm in a place of total humility. I'm completely not even thinking about myself, but my focus now is on somebody else. In particular, David now. He went from his family, talking about family and grandchildren and all of these things, to his growing up, and to now his crying out, and to his quieting himself like a child. Now he's going to just even totally move his focus off of himself. Do you see the ascent happening? These are songs of ascent, going up. You think of a rocket ship as it goes up. It's like huge when it's at Cape Canaveral there. It's, you know, it's got all of its members with it. But as it goes, it's dropping off sections as the fuel is spent. And you have this very tiny thing with the people inside of it. The astronauts are in it. Little tiny part of it. The little tip of it. As we ascend, all these things are being shed off. These false notions of what life is and what Hollywood has taught me. And of all of these things and the honesty that comes to bear. Things are being broken off. And what ties they had on my life. And those things of anger. Now forgiveness taking place. Things being shed off. Things being shut off. The rocket ship is about ready to reach its destination. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. How he swore unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed, the chamber, his bedroom, I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids. He's recounting the time of David. Lord God, you did this for this person, and my faith is now starting to grow. Remember the if and when teaching from last week. Faith connects the past, what God has done, to the now, and looks forward into the future. This is what's happening right now in song number 132. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord, an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. This is David. He's recounting what David did and his attitude. Lo, we heard of it in Ephratah. We found it in the fields of the woods. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and thy ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David. He will not turn away from it. Of the fruit of thy body I will set upon thy throne. Now we have allusions to Christ even here. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. For the Lord has chosen Zion, Jerusalem. He has desired it for his habitation, his dwelling place. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. Praise the Lord, ascending up the steps of humility, the focus now moving off himself unto David in the temple, in the Lord, the smell of it, the fragrance starting to get richer and deeper, the excitement, anticipation starting to happen. What has this climb been for? What has this life been for on this earth? Education? To see the wonders of the world? To get married and have a truck? What's this climb been for? What is good and pleasant? Part three of our teaching today is a question. What is good and pleasant? What is good for me? And it also tastes good. It's enjoyable. It's pleasurable. It's pretty unique and rare to have that combination used in the scripture. There's plenty of verses about this is good, right back to Genesis chapter 1, where God said, let there be light. He saw it was good. There's that word, tov, in the Hebrew. It's good. Good is something God declares. This is morally right. It's true. It's beautiful. And that's a declaration from a moral, holy God. This is good. Pleasant is more of the experience that we have. It's pleasant. We enjoy it. Tastes good. It feels good. What's good and pleasant? Remember the candy, good and plenty? That was not good, and maybe it was plenty, but maybe you liked that. I don't know. It was like jelly bean with some sugar coating on it. What is good and what is pleasant? We're told in the end times that men will be lovers of the pleasant, of the pleasures, of what feels good and what tastes good. Having a form of godliness, but without power. Nothing good, but the pleasure being the thing elevated. The feel-good stuff. I want my ears tickled. I want the preacher to tell me smooth things. If you don't, I'll go to another church. What is good and pleasant? Well, the answer is right here. We sang it already. We announced it, Psalm 133, and in its exclamation, because God from heaven is declaring boldly to us, shouting it, in it as it would be in his word, behold, how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Can you smell the sea salt? Can you smell the ocean spray? Can you feel and sense it? Can you tell what God is speaking of here? If you don't, he elaborates in verses 2 and 3. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garments, all the way to his toes, the edges of his garment. Notice the direction of flow here with unity. It's down, right? What did we just do? We just climbed up steps of humility to get to the place where God is descending upon us with this oil and this water. The experience is unity. The power is in this unity that God so desires that in John 17, before Jesus goes to the cross, he is praying earnestly that they would be one. Uno. They would be a church not of 300 or 3,000 or 15,000. That doesn't matter. They would be one, God. He didn't say they would be 300 or 5,000. They would be one as we are one. I and you and them and all of this that he goes on to say in John 17. One. They're united. What's the difference between unity and uniformity? It's an important distinguishing thing we need to bring up, because you could think that unity is uniformity, and it's not. One's not evil, and one's not good, but what we're going for, what's at the top of the mountain, is unity. Uniformity is when we have sameness, where we have things that are the same. Unity is when there is a singleness. There is a oneness. We will describe more of this. At the top of the mountain, as we climb up the steps of life, is unity. Our goal is to have unity in marriage, it's to have unity in church, unity in the family. Unity is a powerful agency. It's good. And it's pleasant. This idea of goodness all through the scripture, this word tov, is all through here, just in the Psalms itself. Psalm 4, verse 6 says, who will show us anything good? Ask the question. That's the first instance of it in the Psalms, is asking that question. Who will show us anything good? Tov. Remember Psalm 92, where it's tov to give thanks. Remember Roger's granddaughter there, Bella, the 92 cents. Remember that story? The Psalm 92, it's tov to give thanks, to have thankfulness. Remember that? It's good. Psalm 14 tells us that no one does tov. No one does tov. The goodness, the purity, then the purest form. That our tov is not like God's goodness. And that's part of the admission that we have when we're taking communion today. That our tov, our goodness, is not good enough. We want his goodness. We want his righteousness. And it's been freely given to us. It's a gift. He wants us to know it. So much that we would take it right in. We would consume these elements. He wants us in us. He wants us to wear these robes of righteousness. He wants us to know all about this goodness that he is. Psalm 23, the famous one that's read. The last verse of it says, surely tov will follow me all the days of my life. Psalm 25 says, God is tov. God is good. You've heard that expression. God is good. There's 7 billion of us on this planet, and we all have our versions of what good is. And that's why we're angry at each other. We don't get along very well, why we don't have unity. You see, we were all born from this tree of disunity. It's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There was another tree that was a singularity, tree of life, tree of unity, just one, tree of life, life, unity. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, duplicity. You were born on the duplicity tree. I'm sorry to tell you that you're a sinner. That's your sin nature. When you do things that are sinful, you just verify that you're born from this tree of duplicity. You just verify it. One sin is all it needs. Just, oh, okay, yeah, that's me. I'm a sinner. It isn't a measurement of amount of sin that makes you right or wrong. It's one sin that tells and declares that you were born a sinner. That's your nature. It's duplicity. God said, don't eat of that tree. He wants us to have singularity, union, unity, the tree of life. It is good and it is pleasant. God is illustrating this unity with us with two elements, using oil and water here. Oil bringing that comfort. The oil is associated with the Holy Spirit, the great comforter. Oil just being poured over our heads, God anointing us from above as we ascend up those stairs of humility. I mean, by the time you get up to the top, there ain't nothing left. Good. You're ready to experience the tree of life. Back to singularity. Not duplicity. Not judging each other. This is good and that's evil and then... Yeah. Sorry. Singularity, unity. Back to the tree of life where we belong. Back to what is good and pleasant. The water, the dew of Hermon, is the dew that descends upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. If you're in Israel, anywhere you are, pretty much in Israel, you can find Hermon because that's the highest peak. It's usually snow-capped all year round. Very tall mountain. The dew descending, that melting away, that snow melting away, the descent, God releasing from heaven that water that nourishes us, that refreshes us, that causes us to grow. Unity, singularity. We have been ascending in humility. God is descending upon us with his oil and his water. The oil is pleasant. The water is good. The oil is pleasant. It's the Holy Spirit. The water is good. It's the Word. It's Christ. Did you get that? As we ascend in humility to God, we become like a child, like he told us to. Psalm 131. I behaved and quieted myself like a child. God descends upon all of us with his oil, and it's pleasant. It's comforting. It's the Holy Spirit of comfort. It's love. He's also refreshing us, descending upon us with water. That's the Word of God, Christ. It makes us free. It causes us to have new life. Let's look at Philippians 2. While we're in Philippians, we'll be taking communion. Notice verse 13 in Philippians chapter 2. You have these words, good and pleasure, being used. At least my translation has that, connecting us back to where we are today. Let's look at verse 1 in Philippians chapter 2. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Does this sound familiar where we are today, where we've ascended to? Just this first verse in Philippians, something very important. This is where it begins. This is step one in unity. This is the step one in this goodness and this pleasantness that God is talking about, what's on top of the mountain. If there be, therefore, any consolation in, underline that, in Christ. This is where it is. It's in Christ. Your translation might even say in union with Christ. Same idea there. It's in Christ. Folks, we're not going to get there any place else. We're not going to be able to agree on what color socks we're going to wear or what songs. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. It's here. It's in union with Christ. We're very different. We're born with a nature that's in duplicity. James talks about it. You look in the mirror and you forget who you were. You have this double nature about you. That's all of us. We've got to get healed right here at the base of the cross. In union with Christ. This is good. This is pleasant. In this process in Philippians, uniformity is going to be brought out. The same, looking the same. Same form. In unity is also going to be discussed. Uniformity is having the same love that God gives us from the cross through the Holy Spirit. That's uniform. Gretchen needs it. I need it. It's uniform. We all need this. We all need the shed blood of Jesus on the cross. That's uniform. Uniformity in Christ. It talks about the koinonia or fellowship of the Spirit. That's uniformity as well. We all need to have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Uniformity is having bowels of mercies. We all have tender mercies. Uniform, same form. The provision of this is not our own. Be careful with that. This is from Jesus. All of these things, it's from our union in Christ that bowels of mercies flow out. It's from our union in Christ that fellowship of the Spirit flows out. Remember, these things are descending upon us. We're ascending in humility. We're not conjuring up bowels of mercies. You can't do it. Don't fake it. I don't want your fake stuff. We don't want your tov. We don't want your righteousness. It's filthy rags. Okay? It just doesn't work. We need the goodness of God. He is good. Out of that descending upon us is this fellowship of the Spirit, the bowels of mercy. Uniformity, same love. That you be like-minded, having the same love in verse 2, being of one accord. That Greek word is used once. It's unique. It's single. In the whole of the New Testament, which is all of the Greek of the Bible, that word is only appearing once. One accord. Breaking that word out, it means one breath. The union of our breath. The union of our spirit. The union of our breath. Being of one accord. Very cool. A word that's God would just have that. It's not going to be used anywhere else. Right here. One accord. Unity. This is good. This is pleasant. One accord, then he says, one mind. That speaks to unity as well. One accord and one mind. This is the mind of Christ. This is not uniform, by the way. This is where they differ. Uniformity and unity differ greatly in this one mindness, the mind of Christ. Let's look at it. Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. That's not uniform. That's not same. That's not equality. There's other places in our Christian life where equality is important. It's not here. It's not here. This is key, folks. Don't doze off. We promote equality in a lot of other places. It's not here in unity. In unity, you esteem everyone else higher, not equal. You esteem everyone else higher. It's not uniformity here. It's the mind of Christ that esteeming others higher than yourselves. Look not every man, this is key to marriage, successful marriage, successful families, Now you can have that happy, whatever, the quiver full, all of that stuff, all those promises and the fear of the Lord. You can have all of this. This is key. When you esteem others higher than yourselves. That's the mind of Christ. It descends from above. It's the water that's melting off of Mount Hermon. Receive it today. Look not every man on his own things. You know, in unity, it's not I-nity. There's not two I's, it's you and I, right? Unity, you and I. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You and I, esteeming others. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ. Let it be. That's a word of faith. It's not something you work up. Don't fake it. It's available to you as a gift. It's a term of faith. Let it be in your mind. Let it be in your mind. It's a gift God has given you. Receive it today. Believe in it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not be robbery to be equal with God. He was God, divine, but made himself of no reputation, the humility, this path, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. And let's bring the kids out and enjoy that time now of celebration, of unity, in this recognition of what Jesus has done. The invitation today is have this mind of Christ. It says, let it be within you. And a great illustration of this is with Peter. Jesus asked the question, he said, who do people say I am in Port Byron? Who do people say that I am? A good teacher and all of these things and all of this. And Peter said, I know. He raised his hand. He said, I know. You're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the promised one. And Jesus said, right. Bingo. Right on. He had the mind connected to heaven. He had the mind, the gift called revelation, descending from heaven. The snow was melting off of Mount Hermon. The oil's dropping down the beard until all the way down. It's descending from heaven. He received something from heaven. He says, you received this from the Father. That's the mind of Christ. We're to have that mind. We're to receive it. What happened to Peter just the very next moment? Switch gears. Stop looking up. Stop looking at Jesus. When Jesus started talking about this, about dying for you and me, Peter said, no. He rebuked Jesus. That means he got mad at Jesus. What? Peter, come on. He lost his mind. The mind of Christ. He lost the mind that God had just given him a moment ago. A mind of revelation. A pure mind. We need to have that mind now. United together. A mind of revelation from heaven. A mind of singularity, not duplicity, judging everything and everybody. A mind of singularity on the tree of life again. Let me give you one more example from Paul. That was Peter. Paul gives us a little more practical idea of what that looks like to have this mind of Christ. He had this thorn in the flesh. Ouch! It hurt. It was something very painful in his life. And it's like, God, you know, how can I serve you with this thing going on? You expect me to, you know, serve you with this ailment in my life? You know, I'd be much more effective. Think of the people I could reach. You all, I've prayed this before. I don't know about you. God, this thorn in my flesh, just remove it. Okay. All right? Paul could have claimed, by your stripes, I am healed. He could have got that thorn in the flesh taken care of, and he could have got pleasure. He could have felt pleasure. He could have felt the relief of the pain. God wanted him to have good and pleasure, both. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. What's happening? descent is happening from heaven. Revelation is happening with Paul. It doesn't even talk about the thorn in the flesh anymore. In fact, he says, well, it is. His eyes were open. All of a sudden, he had the mind of Christ, and everything was different. The thorn's still hanging out. The pain is still there, but he's still, all of a sudden, he's got this revelation of God. This truth has made him free. And he's like, wow, I'm going to boast in my infirmities, because when I'm weak, I'm strong. I get it. This is good. This is good. This is good. Let's have the mind of Christ. I want a church of one, folks. 300, 5,000, or 50,000, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. But a church of one is what matters. That's what's at the top. I want to smell the sea salt every time we come together. I want to smell the fragrance of Christ. Not duplicity, not judging this and cowering and fear and all the stuff going on in the world. I want to hear the mind of Christ when we come together in testimony. I want to hear it. I want to hear it. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. You've allowed us, Lord, to climb up with you, up to the top, Lord Jesus, now. We pray that we quiet ourselves and become like children as we receive these elements, God, and we become one together. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bye.
bones will sing.
Great
One of the most important things that you heard today in unity is having the mind of Christ and esteeming others higher than yourselves. That comes naturally when you have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you. This week, when you meet with your enemies, when you meet with your friends, your co-workers, let this mind be in you. Paul said, not I, but Christ. Step out of the way and let this mind be in you. Thank you, Jesus. I'll give a personal testimony very quickly to one example in my own life for that. Marriage was getting dry for me. It was getting, it needed something. It needed revival. Why do I feel this way? Why do I feel so blah? What happened? I said, Paul, you need to think of yourself this way, and you need to think of her this way. You need to esteem her higher than yourself. Just like Paul and the apostle did in the scripture, everything was different. The thorn in the flesh didn't even matter. It was such a powerful thing. Getting the mind of Christ on a matter is such a powerful agency in our life. It will truly make us one in our marriage, in our church, in our communities, in our nation. Amen.
Amen. In unity.
Does anyone know how to dance in Hebrew?
La 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 la. In unity, in unity.
Come on, Mary.
La 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 la. It's like the precious oil flowing down the beard of our robe, from the top of his head to the edge of his robe, and if he made my adore. Behold, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together. In unity, in unity. La 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 la. In unity.
Brothers to dwell
together. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together. In unity, in unity.
They would all join, they would all be joining hands in a circle. See their ephods.
Amen. Praise God.